Thank you that you're a God who's alive. You're a God who listens. You're a God who speaks. You're a God who does stuff. And so good stuff. And so, Lord, I just pray you'd help us to just have open minds and hearts today to what it is specifically. I thank you you're a God who's personal and you can speak personally to each one of us individually. And so, Lord, help us to be open to what you'd want to say to us specifically today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I got my own lost story. Back in 2018, I went down to a conference in Melbourne and have no idea where I am when I'm in Melbourne. And I was in a motel and my friends were staying in a different motel because normally I follow people, you know. We went to a... It's true. We went to a something we had to go to last year, some officer's 20-year review or something. And this person that went through college with Melissa was laughing at me because I was just following her. I said, well, why would I not? Because she knows where she's going. She likes to lead. I'll just follow. I don't even keep up real well. But when I was in Melbourne, I was staying by myself in a motel. The friends were staying in a different motel. So I had to actually find my own way. And my phone had just died. And I thought, that's okay. I'll just take the SIM card out and put it in this old phone. Not realizing like the old phone's battery was dead. So I'd had some charge, but I'd flown down to Melbourne, I'd got on the bus, I'd come into the city, I'd gone to the first night conference, and I'm trying to find my way home, and my phone's going, and I had no idea where I was. And I thought, oh, I'll work it out. Hey, Sandy, I'll work it out. Not really. And then my phone went flat. So I had to go old school. It's about 10 o'clock at night, I'm roaming around the streets of Melbourne, and I thought, there's a taxi driver. He'll know where he's going. And I thought, I'm so desperate. I'm prepared to pay a taxi to get me to my motel. So I go to this taxi driver and say, mate, do you know where such and such motel is? Would you take me there? He says, mate, it's only down that street and there. It's like a block away. Isn't that amazing? We can be so close yet so far. The title of my message tonight, we're not going to preach that long. I once was lost, but now. We sang it this morning. Nate didn't even know. He texts me on Monday, you know, Nate does. He says, what are you preaching on? And this week I loved it because I said, I have no idea. And he said, I love you anyway. I said, thank you. And that song, Amazing Grace, fits perfectly with what I'm talking about today. I once was lost, but now. Am I still lost? Maybe. Maybe it's time I wanted to get found. And it's around, because it wasn't until Tuesday or Wednesday in my devotions I found this passage that I was unfamiliar with, Isaiah chapter 12. I love the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. If you want to look up Isaiah chapter 12, this will make you less nervous because I'm going to preach on every verse in Isaiah chapter 12. But there's only six verses, so we won't be here too long. But you might like to follow it along. I thought, this is an interesting chapter. I'm not familiar, super familiar with this chapter. And so I started to study it. And the whole chapter is pointing towards salvation. And I thought, you know what I love about the Salvation Army? Because sometimes we're in danger of losing our identity. But one thing I think that helps us is that our name, our identity is in our name. Salvation. Well, what is salvation? I mean, is it a Terminator movie? What does salvation really mean? And if you look at the word outside of the context of God, it doesn't mean a lot. But the whole of chapter 12 is all about what salvation is. I love this, just a bit of history. In 1878, when they came up with the name, the Salvation Army used to be called the Christian Mission, right? And then they were messing with a few ideas. And William Booth was perusing a printer's proof which referred to the Christian Mission as a volunteer army. Booth swept his pen through the... Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. He swept his pen through the word volunteer and changed it to read salvation. The name was adopted. And they were a bunch of crazies back then. You know, like we need to get a little bit more crazy for Jesus if you're not. Because it's crazy people that change the world if you haven't noticed. Just got to be Jesus crazy, not crazy crazy. And So Elijah Cadman was crazy. They called him here an enthusiastic believer, but he was crazy. Excitedly proclaimed in a meeting soon after, "God bless the captains of the Salvation Army. I should like to wear a suit of clothes that would let everyone know I meant war to the teeth and salvation to the world." Hey, war to the teeth. There's a crazy guy, was he? And he wasn't talking about beating people up. He's talking about spiritual warfare, about loving people into the kingdom, bringing peace, bringing joy. They're the weapons of our warfare. Not violence, not fighting, but the opposite. So what does the Salvation Army mean? At the core of the Salvation Army is salvation. You could call it, it doesn't really have a ring to it. Instead of the Salvation Army, you could call it the How to Be Found Army. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, does it? But it's how to be found. The opposite of being lost. You ever felt lost? We've all felt lost at different times. But God's in the business of finding us. All right, so let's crash through these as quick as we can. First one, what does salvation mean? Salvation means God's anger is no longer at me. See, we're... I just say terrible things, don't I? I'm just trying to think of a better word. I grew up in the 80s. You could say what you liked. We're a bit soft today, aren't we? A bit soft in the church, I think. And we go, oh, God's not angry. He's a God of love. Well, you haven't read the Bible if you don't think God gets angry. And you must think God is uncaring and aloof if you don't think when people suffer, God doesn't get angry. The problem is we get offended, right? Oh, is God angry at me? Well, no, I don't think so. I think God's angry at sin. God's angry at the brokenness. And that's why he wants to clean the mess up. But the good news is, right? Has anyone got a big jacket? Where's Caleb? That'll do. Will that fit me? Yeah. Is it yours? Yeah. Don't even. What's with all these skinny people? Don't you guys eat? Need to fatten him up. Hello? I hope this illustration doesn't wreck your coat. Jeez, a good man. I've used it. Joke before, haven't I, about that movie, Failure to Launch? I told that story. When they tie the guy up in the chair and they want him to get to talk with each other, and the husband and wife are watching the old couple, and the old guy goes, I could get out of that. And the wife goes, you can't even get out of your barbecue apron. I was a bit like that today, so hopefully I'll be able to get out of this. But I want the jacket to represent sin, right? And God's not angry with me, but he's angry with the state of the world. And so he come up with a really good plan. People say, why doesn't God fix stuff? He actually is. You're just not aware of it. And when you go somewhere for a solution and someone gives you a solution, you go, well, I don't like that solution. Can't you give me another solution? Hey, the God of the universe has come up with a really good solution. And it's actually the only solution. And you're not going to find another one. So if this coat represents sin and what God's angry at, and I think he's angry at me, what happened on the cross, if I can get out of my barbecue apron. A better illustration would have got to get Nate to take it off because Jesus came. Yeah. And you know what? I got to hang my stuff around his neck. Yeah. You ever wanted to hang your stuff around someone's neck? Well, God come up with a plan so I don't have to hang my stuff around my own neck. And you know what? The wrath of God or the anger of God at the state of the world was all put on the cross. So I don't have a problem if God's angry at sin because I've put my sin on the cross. I believe in Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. And so God's not angry at me anymore. Actually, his anger's not even near me anymore. Yeah. I don't think he ever was angry with me. He's angry at sin. He's angry at the brokenness and the state of the world. And all I need to do is separate myself from that, which is how the cross works. And now it's like, mate, I'm free. And I know God's still angry at the state of the world, and I want him to be, because the world's messed up. Yeah. If you're okay with the state of the world, you need to talk to someone, because it's messed up. But God is angry at that, but he's not angry at us. Is that okay? So we can be okay with God being angry. Oh, God doesn't get angry. Of course he gets angry. Do you get angry when you see injustice? Yeah. You know why that is? Because you're made in the image of God. Yeah. We don't get angry enough today, I don't think. Because when you get angry, you go and change stuff. Yeah. So go get angry, not selfish anger, but righteous anger. Yeah. And go fix some stuff in the name of Jesus. Is that okay? Yeah. Two, salvation means God is my security. We talked a bit about it today. Verse 2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength. He is. You know what's good about salvation? It's been like, you know why I don't like Westpac? Sorry, I still bank there, but I probably shouldn't. I should shift to like, they're not watching anyway. Anyone got shares in Westpac? I like Newcastle Permanent. You know why? They're owned by the members. They're not on the share market. Yeah. Right? If you want a safe bank, I reckon go Newcastle Permanent. Yeah. Because the selfishness of the big banks is all about keeping shareholders happy. They're not caring about their customers. You know why? It's a bit like, I don't know, I don't want to kind of promote gambling either. But if you want to gamble, don't you want to back the right horse? Wouldn't it be disappointing if you got to the end of your life and you realized you didn't back the right horse? And you know what? God is like the horse that's going to come through because he's got the ability to. You know how we know this? In Isaiah, I think it's 59, there's other places in the Bible where God searched for someone to fix the mess. He even said to his people of Israel, come and be, you know, show people that I love them. There's a way of salvation. And they messed it up. And in the end, God says, I need to fix it myself. And so the whole idea of God and salvation being a secure thing is because God is his idea. He made it happen and he brought it to fruition. And so it's a sure thing. It's a bit of the difference between, I don't know, what's a good car? Buying a good car and buying a dodgy car. Sorry? A Bentley, absolutely. Or a Rolls Royce. Or they're guaranteed. There's a guarantee that comes with them. Any car with a great guarantee. Where, you know, you can only afford, like me, a cheap car. What doesn't come with a guarantee? You know what? Salvation comes with a guarantee because God himself backs it. Yeah. He backs it. One commentator says the objective mark of salvation is strength and durability in the face of life. That sounds good, doesn't it? Trust in this verse points to the security into which the one who trusts enters. In other words, we trust that God can make it happen, that he can save us, that he can rescue us from sin and brokenness and keep us in a relationship with him. See, we often put security in things that have no security. They make us feel secure. My dad used to say a profound thing. He used to say, locks are only to keep honest people out. And it wasn't until we were at Bolton Point, we set up the building there, and we had like a community centre and a church and offices and a job training cafe, another hall. We had these two other areas that were available. And so for a little while, there's a convenience store in there. And the guy, I don't know, I think he rubbed some of the locals the wrong way. And he even had video, right? He'd set up video cameras. And he showed us this video one night of these guys that broke into the shop. And, mate, it was so quick and it was so easy. I could only think of my dad. Locks, just to keep honest people out. And you know what? Where's your security today? Because this guy had his door locked. He had video cameras. He had the whole deal. Thought his shop was secure. And even every night he'd put all his cigarettes in the boot of his car and take them home. So he made it as secure as possible, and it still wasn't secure. And, you know, it's very easy for us to put our security in a relationship or in, you know, I own my house. So what? Can burn down tomorrow. Where's your security? Because this passage is telling me the only secure place on the planet is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not in your family, not in your marriage. All those things are good, but they're not the place for our security. And you know whether security's in them or not, because when they look like they're going to be taken away, we freak out. Well, friends, no one can take your salvation, so then you don't have to freak out anymore. And all the other stuff that, you know, is great, but it's not our security. If that then goes, we're okay. It's not going to mess us up because our security's not in that anyway. Is that all right? Better keep moving. Salvation is my source of life and joy. I love this verse. This is the one that was really stuck out to me. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. The you, if you look at that verse, with joy you, is that still up there? Was that up there, that verse? There's a you. You think you is you. You know when he's talking about you? Is the verse there or not? Did I ever give it to you? I'm so sorry. See, that's why I'm totally unqualified for this job. So there's handouts on you. You know, good luck working them out today because I haven't given the PowerPoint to the guys. There's a word you, right? And in the Hebrew, it means plural, which is very cool. So you could say this, right? I accept salvation as an individual, but I get to enjoy my salvation in community. How cool is that? I have to make the decision individually to follow Jesus, but once I do, I get a free family. Yes, yes, yes. They're a bit weird, but they're full of love and joy and Jesus stuff. You know, and when they mess up, I just forgive them anyway. But I get a family. I don't have to do this alone. Yeah. How good is that? The well talking about here, some translations say springs, are an unfailing source or an unfailing resource. A picture of God himself who as the author and source of life never runs out of life. Never runs. God never runs out of anything. How cool is that? He never runs out. He is the source. So if you're looking for life, God's the one who's got some and he's willing to share it. Oh, you're a good woman. Mm-hmm. Do I have too much coffee? Thank you, Katie. The Hebrew word here, translated well or spring, means a source of something that flows out as a spring. Sometimes the word well is used. It describes an underground source of water coming to the surface. A below ground water source that has or bubbles up water. You know what? So when we give our life to Jesus Christ, we put our faith in what he has done. The Bible says that. Jesus said, I'll become like streams of living water, right? And it bubbles up from within our spirit. So we've always got the source by the Spirit of God, the source of joy and the source of peace or endurance or perseverance. I mean, not every day is joyful, is it? But we can persevere. We can have patience because we have the source of all those things living within us like a spring. It's not like a water tank that runs out. It's like a spring that just never runs out. Yeah. Hey? We're the most resourced people on the planet if we give our lives to Jesus. But see, this is what we often do. Jeremiah 2:13, he says this about his people. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me. A bit like what Judas was saying, they run away. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns or water tanks. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. What broken cisterns have you dug? They can't hold water. I think of recently when Melissa and the guys, Marty and Tali, went to the Philippines, and one of the big things they were doing was just giving water filters. And you think of the difference between, and it's similar, right? When we dig our own wells, it's a bit like finding an old dirty dam or pool of water and we start drinking from that. What's going to happen? We're going to get sick and we could even die. But if we go to a fresh spring, it's going to be life-giving. It's going to hydrate us. It's going to keep us healthy. And the same thing, if we go to the things of this world for our source of life, it's going to eventually kill us spiritually. But if we go to Jesus, we get refreshed. Every time we drink from him, every time we hang out with him, every time we draw from him through prayer, the word, worship, and all those ways. I want to ask you this morning, where are you taking your needs? Are you taking your needs to things that cannot meet them? You know what's funny? We take our needs, like, you know, looking for a relationship, so we go online and look for someone. I'm saying that's wrong, just. But I would pray about that before you do it. Right? And then we don't get our needs met, but we get angry at God. But we didn't go to God, we went to something else. I always find it funny that God gets blamed for our bad decisions. God, why didn't you give me this? I think sometimes he says, you never asked me. And when you did ask me, you never listened to what I said. And then you didn't wait for my right timing. And you're angry at me. Hang on. I'm sure God doesn't get confused, but I could understand if he does. 4, when salvation is my experience, I can't help but share it. Verse 4. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. When we find this spring of living water, this unending source of life and love and joy and peace, then we can't help but be grateful. And give praise to the Lord, and we proclaim his name because, as one commentator puts it, I love this, like the name, and that's why I get offended, right? I can get offended when people use the name Jesus or God in the wrong way. It's a bit like I get offended for my friend Karen. I've got a friend called Karen. And she's nothing like the Karens that you talk about. You know, there's those stupid cafes. They've gone bankrupt. What a stupid idea that is. Who wants to go to a cafe and get treated badly? Hey, I don't want to. No, I wouldn't go there either. Right? Called a Karen, what was it called? A Karen Cafe or something. What a weird thing. But I feel sorry for all the people that were born in my generation called Karen. A lot of nice people. I remember a girl from fourth grade called Karen and she was lovely. Right? So next time you're hard on the Karens, just I'm offended for them. Right? Because I know Karens with good character. And the same, when I hear God's name used the wrong way, I get offended. Why? Because the name of Jesus for me represents love and life and peace and fullness. If you're using those God or Jesus in the wrong way, it's because you never met him. You don't know who he is. If you're ripping off Karens, it's probably because you never knew one. Does that make sense? And so it says here, I love it. His name is shorthand for all that he has revealed about himself. Wow. His name is shorthand. That's why the Jewish people won't even write the name Yahweh fully, because they understand what that name represents. Yeah. It's shorthand for a God who's revealed his love and his power, his compassion, his forgiveness. When we encounter him personally and intimately, the name takes on meaning. Number 5, last one. Salvation means I'm going to be excited and expressive.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Just waiting to see if someone wasn't dead. Hey, and I didn't even give you the photo. I even got a photo of my friends at the Origin the other night. I got Queensland friends. And that live in Queensland, God bless them. And they're at Lang Park or whatever you call it these days. Shush, you lost. You just have to suffer in silence, Wayne. You lost and you lost bad. And I'm talking about my Queensland friends, and they didn't lose, they won.
Yeah.
And they were noisy about it.
Yeah.
I wanted to save the video and show the video of them being lunatics. And they're all in their 50s, right? Except for my mate's daughter, who goes for New South Wales anyway. She looked a bit dejected on the end of the row. But you know what? If we can get excited about the footy, we might be able to get excited about Jesus. Hey? I don't know who's going to win the next game, Wayne, but I know, you know. Well, but let's put it this way. I get excited. I got real excited. And I had no compassion, right? I had no compassion. I just watched them get smashed. And it was exciting, right, to watch Queensland smash New South Wales. How much more exciting is it to watch the God of the universe smash the enemy?
Yeah.
And put sin and brokenness under his feet and crush that stuff, to take my brokenness and put it under his feet. It says the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. In the power of Jesus, we can say no more brokenness, no more addiction, no more whatever it is that's wrecking your life in the name of Jesus. And you know, you can't just say in Jesus' name. You actually got to get into relationship with him. That's what that means. And when we're in relationship with him, then we can say in the name of Jesus and have the authority to say no more. No more, and smash that. And that's what we get excited about. So you can be excited. Is that all right? Let's be excited. You talking to me? I'm calm, honest. Yeah, sometimes we're just too calm. That's the problem, is it? Hey, some of you are too calm. Get upset about something, for goodness sakes. There's people out there who are lonely, broken and dying without Jesus, and they need to hear what you've heard. They need to experience what we're experiencing. They need a family. Hey? It's not supposed to be a secret. My old broken phone had no way of helping me find my way that night in Melbourne. I needed to find someone who knew the way. Hey, what have you tried to use to find your way? Because Jesus said this. He didn't say, I know the way. He said, I am the way. I am the way. What does that mean? You know what? I went to build a relationship with the taxi car driver, right? Because I was desperate. Maybe you're desperate enough today to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he won't just show you the way. He'll take you home. He'll go with you. Taxi car driver just told me where to go. But Jesus is the kind of God who'll say, get in the car. I'm with you. I'll go with you. You'll never be alone again. And I'll make sure you get home safe. Hey, that's why I follow him. That was an all right segue, wasn't it, to that song? Didn't even know. Worship team's going to do an awesome song. You never walk alone. You know, maybe you want to come this morning and hang some stuff on the cross. Because, you know, thank you, champion, for that. That's right. Because sometimes, you know, false guilt's a terrible thing too, and we say, God, forgive me, and we seem to not be able to let things go, or we struggle with stuff over and over again. And maybe you want to kneel here, or, you know, write something and stick it on the floor here or something, just as a symbol, if that helps, to say, you know what, I'm sick of trying to make things work my way. I'm just going to let Jesus do things his way. So I encourage you to engage with this time. It won't be a long time, depending on what God wants to do. But you know what? I know that freedom is on offer and we don't always take advantage of it. And so we can take advantage of God's freedom. And whatever it is that you're struggling with that might hold you back or hold you down, you might just feel lost. You might just feel lonely. You know, and you can do this in your seats. You don't have to do it here, but let God take that away. And let Him give you at least a peace that He has a plan. Because God has a plan. That's why I like Him. I don't need a plan because God's got a plan. My plans are never that great. But as I look back over my life, His plans have been amazing. And so maybe today you just want to lay your plan down. Well, I've got a good plan. Well, not as good as God's plan for your life. He's got a much better plan. And when we exchange our plan for His plan, some stuff can change, some stuff can shift. If you've never given your heart to Jesus before, it's simple as just saying, Lord Jesus, can you become the Lord and Savior of my life? Hey, thank you for dying on the cross so I don't have to die. Thank you that my sins are forgiven, my independence is forgiven. Thank you that you've opened a way for me to have a relationship with you. Let's worship, let's pray, let's do whatever we need to do to make sure we leave this place today with a peace, knowing that we're in relationship with God. Salvation is a real thing, it's a real relationship, it brings security, and we can rest in that. In Jesus' name.